The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, December 30th, 2019.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She knows everything you do, because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, my partner, my technical engineer, and the love of my life, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
Oh, my goodness. Tomorrow is New Year's Eve, 2020. This is the last show of the year, and this is the last Monday of the year. So we will be doing the Women's Spaces Pledge, and I'm really, really excited about that. Wow, 2020, the 100th anniversary of the passing of the 19th Amendment to the Constitution of the United States of America, giving women the right to vote after 72 years of struggle. Here we are about to celebrate 100 years. Hopefully, after all this time, this year, the Equal Rights Amendment will be passed. You know, the Equal Rights Amendment is equality of rights under the law shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any other state on account of sex. Interesting. I mean, here we are, 100 years to vote, and we still haven't got an Equal Rights Amendment. I don't know. Something needs to be said about that. Wow, there's so much happening. You know, 2019 has truly been a fast and challenging year for both Ken and I, but we made it through and we are stronger than ever and are more focused on our mission, which is to bring good information and good people to the airways here in Sonoma County. Well, since this is the last show of the year, Ken and I decided once again, we would do it together to tell our listeners. We are going to tell our listeners about us, how we got into radio, and the discovery that both of us have for this love to be on the air. Just amazing. You know, when Ken and I first met, we had no idea that we were both radio people, but we certainly found out as time goes by. Also, we picked our favorite songs, and we'll talk about them. Ken will be playing a five-minute piece from his Scent of Light program on timing. Oh, it's exciting. And you can hear additional segments on www.kennethnorton.com, and these comments are both inspiring and informative, and I'm really happy that we're going to be able to play something on the air today for you folks. Also joining me on the phone will be Leslie Graves. She's a member of the Steering Committee for the Sonoma County 2020 Suffrage Project and coordinator for the Women's March, which will be happening on January 18th in Santa Rosa, January 18th, 2020 in Santa Rosa and across the United States. Leslie will be giving us an update on the Women's March and some of the other events happening around the county. And, you know, it's real interesting. I found the mission of the Women's March is to harness the political power of diverse women and their communities to create transformative social change. Transformative social change. The Women's March is a woman-led movement providing intersectional education on a diverse range of issues and creating entry points for new grassroots activists and organizers to engage in their local communities through trainings, outreach programs, and events. The Women's March is committed to dismantling systems of oppression through nonviolent resistance and building inclusive structures guided by self-determination. I love this. Self-determination, dignity, and respect. I like that. Dignity and respect. You know, you can go on to www.womensmarch.com/home2020 for additional information about marches across the United States. And in Sonoma County, you can go on Facebook and get all the information. And when Leslie Graves comes on, she will be able to give folks all the details. I also noticed on Facebook there is a whole bunch of listings of marches going on in Northern California and across the country. Women are on the move, and we are not only celebrating history this year, but we are making history. You know, I want to remind folks, you know, if we go to this radio station goes to 18 communities here in Northern California. And if any of you folks out there that are listening, you're having marches or you're doing any special events over 2020, please email me at elaine@womenspaces.com and give me your information, and maybe we could arrange to do an announcement or have you on the air here. You know, it's very important. You know, women, this is the year of the woman. I mean, 2020, 100 years since we got the vote, and we're still fighting to get the Equal Rights Amendment. And look at what's going on. I mean, there's so much that women have to stand up for. You know, I was reading our local paper this morning, the letters to the editor, and again, every single letter was from a man, not one woman. I mean, more and more women have got to speak out, let their feelings and their ideas be known. Well, as we do every Monday, I remind people that our history is our strength, and we will end this year. Here's what I believe to be historical dates. For more women in history, you can go to the National Women's History Alliance.org, and they will have a lot more information. But I try to pick the women that they're mentioning that have something to do with what's going on in the times. So there's some very interesting things that happened around suffrage. So I want to let folks know around this date. In December 25th, 1806, I mean, 1806, I mean, women were really very oppressed at that time. Martha Wright called the first Women's Rights Convention. That's interesting, Martha Wright, but she spells it W-R-I-G-H-T, called the first Women's Rights Convention in Seneca Falls in 1848 with her sister, Lucidia Mott, Elizabeth Stanton, and others. President of Women's Conventions in 1855 in Cincinnati, Saratoga, and Albany. A founder of the American Equal Rights Association in 1866 and continued working for equal suffrage during the Civil War. I guess what this means, December 25th, 1806, this means that that's when she was born, and she passed away in 1875. Then on December 25th, 1821, Clara Burton, founder and president of the American Red Cross. Oh my goodness. So actually in 1881 at this time, that's when the Red Cross was found. And then we have B-U-R-N-I-T-A, Buretta Matthews, suffrage. As a young law student in the District of Columbia, learned that she could carry a banner outside the White House, but would be arrested for not having a permit if she spoke. Can you believe that? So she stayed silent and avoided arrest and gained admission to the bar in 1920, and she worked for the National Women's Party, chosen as a federal district court judge by President Truman in 1949. My goodness, these women are so powerful. And in early 1970s, Selma Burke, sculptor and part of the Black Resistance under Augusta Savage, created the artwork for the Roosevelt Dime, established the Selma Burke Art Center in the early 1970s. That is amazing to me, all these different things that women did. And we should be proud of ourselves. And there's still women. There's still women that are doing things over and over. I mean, look, we have Elizabeth Warren now running for president. We had Hillary Clinton running last time for president. Hopefully, I have my fingers crossed that we might get a woman as president. I really believe women have a different perspective. And I think it's time, you know, when you're looking at the way the world is going, it's a time for a change, a time for something different. Well, let's do the pledge, and then we'll get Leslie Graves on the phone, and we're going to talk about the Women's March. So first, let's do the Women's Spaces Pledge. We've been doing this all year, the last Monday of the month. And what's so interesting about this year is, you know, Ken almost lost his life. You know, we were actually off for a month in March because he was recovering from his hospital tour. I like to call it a tour. I mean, it was really touch and go. And we've just had many, many challenges this year. But, you know, we made it, and we were able to stay on the radio the whole year. So a shout out to all our supporters and all our listeners. And I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for all that you do, and all those pink cards that I passed out. You know something? I got to tell you something. This is so interesting. We passed out almost 5,000 of those pink cards. That means 5,000 people have the Women's Spaces pledge in their hand. And what's really comical to me, I mean, I have to chuckle when this happens. I'll be walking down the street or I'll be in a supermarket and suddenly I'll see a woman. I don't recognize her and I'll offer her a card and she'll say, "Oh, I have that card." And she'll pull it out and show it to me in her wallet. She says, "I read that card every day." And you know something? I read it every day too. I read it 5 times before I come on the air to make sure that I have the confidence. And also, I want to see more women active in 2020. I mean, we're celebrating 100 years. You know, we need to, you know, watch Iron Jawed Angels with Hilary Swank if you're out there listening. You know, that'll give you an idea of what women went through from 1916 to 1920 to actually get the vote for us. And not only that, not only did it show us how hard they struggled to get the vote, but the power of women and the power of perseverance and the power of speaking out and the power of standing up no matter what the circumstances are. You know, and a shout out to all my women friends out there that are active, all the environmental agencies and all the different youth groups that have sprung up this year. It's just been an amazing year. So let's go ahead and let's do the pledge. And, you know, we do it the last Monday of every month. So, you know, I'm going to say it first. Just listen to it and kind of absorb it. Kind of absorb the pledge, you know, see what, you know, see if it kind of resonates with you. Here we go. I'm going to say it. You just absorb it. My self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. Think about that statement. My self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. That means nobody determines who you are. My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power. What a mantra that could be. So let's just say it. I'm going to say it line by line, and you repeat after me. Let's start. My self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power. Amazing. A simple little pledge like that. My self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power. You know, I wrote that for my grandson. You know, he came out of daycare one day and he was crying. And I says, "Ryan, why are you crying?" He says, "Because my teacher told me I was a bad boy." And I says, "Your teacher told you were a bad boy. You're not a bad boy. You're a good boy." And then all of a sudden I start saying, my self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power. Well, it's just amazing. How's it going, Ken? You don't have Leslie? Well, Leslie Graves, I'm really sorry. I mean, something must have happened. But let's just talk. I will make the announcement. We are having a Women's March in Sonoma County in downtown Santa Rosa, and that's going to be happening. Let me get the information. Here we go. Let me see if I got that. Okay. It's going to be happening on January 18th, and it's going to be in downtown Santa Rosa at Courthouse Square. And hopefully, maybe we'll get Leslie on the next segment. I think maybe she's coming in. Is she coming in? Well, someone's calling on the phone. Well, let's see. The march is happening on January 18th. It's going to be happening from in the more. I'm really sorry about this, folks. I'm going to have to get the information. I'll have to get my notes. I was depending on it coming in another way. Anyway, we're going to take a musical break right now, and we're going to play one of Ken's favorite songs. You know, we are going to be talking about it. Okay, let's see. Here we go. Let me see where I can get that song here, Ken. Okay, the song is called God is Alive, Magic is Afloat, and it is sung by Buffy St. Marie.
Afoot.
Okay, you want to try Leslie again, and let's see if we can get her. And also, before we play the song, I forgot to do one thing, and that is to announce that there is a special benefit concert for the Peace and Justice Center in Sonoma County, and that's happening on Tuesday, December 31st from 8:30 on. It's going to be the second annual benefit concert for the Peace and Justice Center, and it's going to be including the Pulsators and special guest Sarah Baker, oh my goodness, and Andre Descans. And for tickets, go to redwoodcafe.com, and you can find out all the information you want. The Redwood Cafe is at 8240 Old Redwood Highway in Cotati. And so now, let's see, with all that going on, let's take our musical break, Ken, and play God is Alive, Magic is Afoot, sung by Buffy St. Marie. And when we come back, we will be talking with Ken Norton, and we will be talking about the song and just giving you an overview of what we're feeling and what we're thinking about this year.
Gentle warrior, with your heart like gold and a rainbow in your eyes. Brave companion, do you see a world shining in the sky? With your body dancing.
We're having a little bit of technical difficulty. Are we on the air, Ken? Are we on the air?
Yes, we're on air.
Okay, we're having a little bit of technical difficulty. I'm really sorry about that. Okay, well, let's just go on with this segment of the show, and I want to welcome right now. I want to welcome Ken Norton. Welcome to Women's Spaces. You know, it's not every day that we have you on the mic here. Behind the mic. Anyway, Ken, talk a little bit about, let's hear a little bit about you. How did you get involved in radio, and what is your background?
Well, I got involved in radio, and radio KUP, and that's down in San Jose. And it was a show that I did called Humdrum, and it was all on percussion music, and mostly from old music or from indigenous tribes, just to try to feel what the expression was from them. And that's how I started, Elaine.
Well, you know, it's really wonderful having you in the background here, you know, at the machine. I liked it when I introduced you. You know, it's very interesting. I think of you as my co-producer, my technical engineer, the love of my life, and also somebody who really helps me keep the show on the air. Why do you feel, what is your thought about community radio? Why do you think it is so important? You know, stations like, we're on several stations, several community radio stations. Why do you think the public needs to support these stations?
One is it's a way of communication, a communication with people in your neighborhood, people in your town, people in your county, that is expressing, you know, opinions about what's happening or about music and music appreciation. And that is that's great feedback for us as a community.
Well, you know, I feel that way too. You know, the whole idea around Women's Spaces. In fact, you know, the whole idea of today's show is maybe to let folks know a little bit about us and what our philosophy is, and why we do radio and why we stay so committed. You know, I got involved. It's very interesting. I got my association degree from Los Angeles City College in 1973. And then I moved up, and I was a journalism major at the time. Actually, I was an editorial page manager, which is amazing. I went back to school when I was 30 years old, and I had a wonderful teacher by the name of Mr. Linville. He was an English teacher. You know, when I came back to school at 30, I actually failed dumbbell English. And so Mr. Linville told me, he suggested to me that I become a journalism major, that I have a great ability of writing and speaking, but I have to learn punctuation, and I have to learn how to pull my thoughts together. And so I did. I went and I became a journalism major. I got my AA degree in journalism, and I actually won an award, believe it or not, and I was shocked. And I think it was that award that inspired me to continue with my education. And then later I went on to get a master's degree from San Francisco State. And at that time, after I graduated and got my master's degree, I went to a work for a place called Athena House, which is an alternative to incarceration for women. And a young man by the name of Joe, I don't even know what his last name was, he came into a meeting and he said, look, we got this new radio station. It's a bilingual station starting in Santa Rosa, and we want to do a women's show. We think it's very important. And, you know, it was really interesting because there were not very many women on the radio. And they asked, does anybody in the group have radio experience? And I start thinking, and then I raise my hand, and I said, well, I went to Los Angeles City College. I was a journalism major, and guess what? I did the weather report and the sports announcements. And he said, can you imagine? He said, do you have a microphone in front of you? And I said, yeah, I did. He says, well, you did radio, and come on down. And that was my first radio experience. How did you get involved in radio?
That's really interesting because for me it was I went to a market. It was a food co-op in San Jose, and I was talking to some people there, and they happened to be programmers on that radio station that was close by and serving that community. And so I talked to them. Well, gee, I'm interested. Can I go to a show? And so eventually it started like that. I became interested in radio, how they actually produce it, go into the studio, and, you know, I caught the bug.
Boy, oh boy, it is a bug, isn't it? I mean, once you get involved in radio, it's very, very exciting. Well, you know, we're having a little technical difficulty, you know, and does it see it's resolved right now?
No, it doesn't look like we're going to be able to play our CDs.
Well, what about the one on your Scent of Light?
I'm going to try to play that off the computer, see if it'll play.
Well, folks, you know, let me explain something to you. This is live radio. We are here alive and well. You know, I mean, we are transmitting live. And so every once in a while, we have a little technical difficulty. And that's the beauty of community radio. The community of radio is that we're live and we're part of your community and we're trying to get as much information out as we can. Well, let me ask you another question. So you got the bug. What was Humbug all about? I mean, that's an interesting name. What made you choose that name?
I chose Hum because there's a lot of humming in the resonance of the music that's being played and the voices, and Humbug. Well, it's just a common phrase, and I just copied it for my show.
Were you on in the evening? Were you on in the morning? I mean, how did you run the show?
No, it was when was the show? I think it was an evening show. Evening show, yeah.
So how long were you on, you think?
I was on it was a two-hour show.
So you were on every week for 2 hours?
Every week for 2 hours, yeah.
What a commitment. I mean, here we have an hour show. It's really very, very interesting. Well, right now, what's real interesting is that you've developed another program, and it's called The Scent of Light. And I think it's very interesting, the name. Talk about the name. Talk about how you came up with that name.
Well, I will. I printed out a piece of paper here.
Oh, it must be here. Hold on a minute. Let's see. Here we go.
Okay. I was given a book. It was an anthology of poems by Hafiz, who is considered to be a great Sufi master. It was translated by Daniel Ladinsky in his book called The Gift. I opened the book to this poem. Like a great starving beast, my body is quivering, fixed on the scent of light.
So that's how you named it?
That's how I named it. I named it The Scent of Light after that poem.
And what is the idea behind it? I mean, I know that you studied with a mentor for 20 years. How did this all come about? I mean, some of your thoughts and some of your ideas.
I was offered the show. I was offered a 5-minute slot on a program called Radio Spotlight Magazine, which features a lot of commentary on political things that are happening in a day. And, well, they're kind of exciting, given our present present presidential administration. So I thought, well, what am I going to produce on this five-minute slot? And that's when I came up with a somewhat quiet time or an oasis in the middle of this dealing with the forces of nature or political nature, that little place that, you know, we have in ourselves that we can then know who we are, center ourselves, and then be critical of what we're listening to, be able to absorb what we're listening to, but from the standpoint of our center and not from the standpoint of someone else's branch, you know, that's been reached at with his story or her story in an emotional way, and then we're going to then form our opinion off at the tip of that, is something that I wanted to bring back into the center of each person that's listening to the news.
Well, I think we should try to play a segment, and this is one of my favorite segments. It's called Timing, and one of the things that was very interesting when Ken and I first started going together, I kind of tripped on my own feet with certain things that were happening, and one of the things he reminded me is you have to have timing, you have to wait, you have to plan to be able to move forward. So let's try and let's see if we can bring this in. This is a 5 minutes. It's going to be 5 minutes, and this is Ken Norton. Part of his website is called Scent of Light, and we're going to play one of his segments, which is called Timing. So let's go ahead. Let's see if we can get that on the air, Ken.
Okay. Let's try it.
Doesn't look like we're having any luck. You know,
we're not going to have a success that way, but I can read it to you.
Oh, why don't you go ahead and do that?
We'll
do
that.
That's beautiful. Okay, yeah. So we're going to hear a segment called Timing. And then I think we have Leslie Graves calling us on the phone. After we do this thing on timing, let's bring her on.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Go ahead.
In this episode on The Scent of Light, I will speak on timing. The winter solstice has served as a marker for humanity for millenniums, as the ancient megaliths like Stonehenge remind us. The sunrise occurs later, and its place on the horizon has been moving toward the equator to the south in our northern hemisphere. At the winter solstice, the sun appears to have settled some days at its southernmost limit, and the daylight hours have stopped decreasing. This observation helped our ancestors with aligning their planting and hunting times to the seasons for the survival of the community. It also gave hope during the cold and darker days for a returning spring and summer. They recognized a cycle that repeats and held rituals to note the importance of the solar cycle. Timing appears in our biological processes as well. The heartbeat, the breath, and the firing of neurons occur in synchronicity with myriad other actions in our body. The breath is the one function that we can willfully control to relax anxious feelings, as the breath's pace and rhythm determine if the body responds with flight, fight, or calm in a situation. The slower, deeper breaths encourage peace and relaxation. The breath switch is useful in our social life. Timing also is important in our social relationships and communications. A word said at an opportune time has multiple times more meaning and effect than one spoken carelessly. As a conversation reveals opinions, our reaction to them stimulates biological responses. If we are agreeable to the opinion, our response can be in the range of calm to enthusiastic support. If the opinion is offensive to a belief we hold dear, our reaction will prepare us for flight or fight, our blood pressure and pulse increase, and we have adrenaline speeding up our responses. The biological changes affect our thinking and need to express and debate. If we have experience in meditation with a slowing and deepening of the breath and calming of the mind from emotionally fueled stories, it is easier to notice the feeling states arising in a tense moment and slow down the breaths. In a few breaths, calm reflection of the opinion will allow one to notice cues in the conversation and body language for an opening for a meaningful word. Such a sign may not appear in the same setting, but it can come in another setting. Here is where we need patience and trust that we will receive guidance for the best timing for all concerned. Such a practice helps one to truly listen to the conversation partner and have greater influence. It also helps prevent impulsive reactions that can be inflammatory, heightening the defensiveness of each speaker. There is a chance that wisdom, even if first uncomfortable, can be shared between the speakers. I like the winter solstice because of its indication of a turning taking place at a galactic scale, and that turnings are part of our bodily and social lives. We can learn the patterns and notice the timing of such turnings and apply this to our communications for the turning of opinions. Even in those conversations around politics and religion, we can apply patience and trust in our true self, receiving intuitive guidance. We can relax our notions of being always right and of having the last word, and hold up a real chance of sharing care and wisdom with one another. Remember the timing in your life.
Wow, that was really insightful. That was really insightful. Why only 5 minutes, Ken?
Well, I was offered 5 minutes, so I'm dealing with a project that had a time constraint, and so then I just create something in 5 minutes. I figured that 5 minutes, that's enough for a poem, that's enough for a song, so it's enough to gather people's attention for, taking a visit to the center of oneself.
It's like we never really take time out to do things. You know, we never, our timing is never really the way it should be. You know, I'm really sorry.
No, never say never.
I'm really sorry that we're having all this technical difficulty. But what I thought, two things. I think Leslie's trying to get a hold of us, and maybe we can call her.
We can try giving her a call again.
Okay. And then I want to read. We were going to play a beautiful song by Buffy St. Marie, and I want to read the lyrics. I mean, they're really beautiful. So I'm going to read the lyrics too. God is alive, magic is afoot. God is alive, magic is afoot. God is alive, magic is afoot. God is afoot, magic is alive. Alive is afoot, magic never died. God never sickened, many poor men lied. Many sick men lied. Magic never weakened, magic never hid. Magic always ruled. God is afloat, is afoot. God never died. God was ruler through the funeral lengthened, through the mourners thickened. Magic never fled. Through his shrouds were hoisted, the naked God did live. Through his words were twisted, the naked magic thrived. Though his death was published round and round the world, the heart did not believe. Many hurt men wondered, many struck men bled. Magic never faltered, magic always led. Many stones were rolled, but God would not lie down. Many wild men lied, many fat men listened. Through they offered stones, magic still was fed. Beautiful. What is about this, these lyrics, and what is it about this song that you like, Ken?
For me, it was a song about a spiritual journey and something that I could relate to. I like the descriptions. I like the longing of someone, a loved one missing you. There was a lot of things in it that gave me hope. Magic is like something beyond our comprehension. And, well, we know our comprehension. I studied science. You know, I have a comprehension in a certain field of science, but it's limited to, you know, to what I knew and what I have read and then what I can come up with. It's still not the whole world. It's still not all the university of opinions that are out there of possibilities and resources that could be available, that my mind may say, hey, it can't because I can't think of it. But magic allows you to think outside of that mind box.
You know, when I think of magic, I think of the magic of the fact that we live on this planet, that we're in the middle of a universe, you know, that when our homes are actually on the edge of Earth, you know, to me, that is magic, and that we survive. So really, magic has a real strong place in our lives and the human species, and I think that we forget that we live in a magical world. Would you agree with that?
It's easy to forget, but we have so many reminders. You look at the dew dripping from the branches of the tree, or the snowflakes, if you happen to live in that kind of a country where you have a winter of snow, or if you have a flower that picks up, or a baby, like we have a great-granddaughter, you know, she just smiles at you, you know that magic is alive.
Yeah, that's true. You know, we just spend Christmas with our great-granddaughter Satori, and it's just like a little miracle. I mean, here she was. One minute she was just, hey, we're pregnant, and the next now she's running around, talking, staring at us, grabbing our hands, wanting our food. It's just amazing. Well, we're going to switch gears right now, folks. You know, I mean, this is really for the last. We've had a pretty good year. We've had very little technical difficulty with the program, and I'm very, very lucky that this has happened. And here we are again. I have to repeat, we are live and well here at the studio, and not to forget that we are live radio. And before I bring Leslie Graves on the line, she's waiting. Thank you so much, Leslie. I want to just mention this to folks. I'm really excited because we're going to talk about the Women's March, and we're also going to talk about 2020 celebrations happening here in Sonoma County. But the most exciting thing I got a wonderful email from the National History Alliance, which, by the way, my dear friend Molly Murphy McGregor was one of the co-founders, letting me know that there's going to be a kickoff celebrating the centennial of the women's suffrage movement at the Rose Parade float. They're going to have a special float called Years of Hope, Years of Courage, which celebrates centennial of the 19th Amendment ratification. And it's going to be wonderful. I can't wait. This is the first time that I think they've had a women's float like this at the Rose Parade, and it is very, very exciting to hear about that. So for this segment, I've asked Leslie Graves, a member of the Steering Committee for the Sonoma County 2020 Suffrage Project and coordinator for the Women's March, who is becoming an inspiring She's becoming an inspiring regular on Women's Spaces, to give us an update on the Women's March, what's happening on January 18th in downtown Santa Rosa, and talk about some of the activities going on to celebrate 2020. Welcome, Leslie. Welcome to Women's Spaces once again.
Thank you, Elaine. Happy New Year to you. And thanks for you and Tin being persistent in getting me on the line. And it's all about persistence as we head into 2020. This year, and I do point out that the Rose Parade float that you're talking about right there is going to be happening at the Tournament of Roses Parade down in Pasadena in the LA area on January 1st. So that is Tuesday, and the airing of the parade starts at 8 a.m. It's very exciting to see that parade. We have two locals that are going to be walking next to the parade float, Ellen Bowen and Lee Ann Wentz, and they'll be in their suffrage regalia and joining that parade, as well as a bevy of people that are supporting it. And you'll see a couple different suffrage floats, but they're number 24 in the parade lineup, so they should be within that first hour to hour and a half of the parade as you watch it on TV. So that's going to be exciting on January 1st, a great way to kick off the new year.
Oh, I know. I mean, it's really, to me, I mean, I'm just excited just as all this stuff is happening. Well, Leslie, let's talk before we go into what's happening on January 18th here in Sonoma County. Let's talk about the Sonoma County 2020 Women's Project. What is it about, and can you give us an overview? I mean, we've had a kickoff in December. Give us an overview of some of the events that are going to be taking place. I know the libraries are really involved. I mean, there's just a lot going on. And also, just to, because we go to so many counties, what you're hearing here in Sonoma County is probably happening in your county, so you need to check it out. But talk a little bit about the 2020 the Suffrage Project.
Yeah, so Sonoma County 2020 Women's Suffrage Project is a year-long project here in Sonoma County in which we are really inviting the community to participate with us in history and education, in community events, in social justice and advocacy programs. And we are collaborating with over 24 organizations out in Sonoma County in order to bring opportunities throughout our geographical county, including Sonoma and Petaluma and Sebastopol and Healdsburg, Cloverdale, Santa Rosa, as well as Windsor. All of these programs consist of museum exhibits. One is coming up really soon at the Museum of Sonoma County, starting with its reception of From Suffrage to Me Too, Groundbreaking Women in Sonoma County, which is on January 24th. That's a Friday night from 5 to 7 p.m. And we actually are encouraging people to come and go to the reception with us. We'll be meeting at the 7th Street Garage and then walking over as modern suffragists to the exhibit from 5 to 7. So we'll meet at 5 o'clock at the 7th Street Garage. And then we also have things like talks. We have that next day on Saturday, January 25th, Dr. Carl Schneider is going to be talking about the Native American experience with suffrage. And he's heavily involved in the committee that is changing what fourth graders do as far as their curriculum around the Native Americans and Native American experience in California. And so teachers are actually changing their curriculum to not have the mission project like they had previously. And he's going to be a great resource. So we have lectures and presentations. We have museum exhibits. We have parades that we'll be walking in. And we also have social justice and advocacy programs in which we'll have oral histories, discussions on intersectional feminism, as well as privilege. And we're involving, like I said, lots of organizations throughout the county. You can check it all out at www.socowomen2020.org.
And a reminder to our listeners that all the websites and everything that we give, we do have on Women's Spaces, www.womenspaces.com. You know, it's really interesting when you start looking at women's history. And the reminder, you know, talk a little bit about the National History Alliance. You know, that was founded here in Sonoma County. What, you know, they are involved with events all across the United States. So you have any words to say about them?
Yeah, the National Women's History Alliance, who is our fiscal sponsor of the 2020 Women's Suffrage Project, was started 40 years ago by co-founders, including Molly McGregor. She's here, based out of Sonoma County. And it's really writing women back into the history books. And it was something that prior to 1980 hadn't really been highlighted as much, was women's histories and all the contributions that women had provided to American history. So that's happening more and more, but we don't want to lose sight that still needs to occur, even on a greater level, especially around intersectional feminism and representing all kinds of different women throughout our history. The National Women's History Alliance has a great website as well, and they are also one of the sponsors for that Pasadena Rose Parade tournament float. So you'll see a big banner of theirs up on that float, and I know that they're all down, including Molly McGregor down in Pasadena right now, really wowing the crowd with her abundance of knowledge and history around women's history.
Well, I'll give my listeners a little bit of history. Molly McGregor and I had the blessing of going to Sonoma State with her, and I remember in 1974 we were walking to our classes together talking about, can you imagine there's hardly any mention of women of art in history? I mean, it was an amazing thought, and it was really an eye-opener to think about it, to think about that women, there was not very much history that we could put our hands on. I mean, of course, we knew about Amelia Earhart, and we knew about some of the maybe Madame Curie, but not many women were put in the spotlight. And so a special shout out to Sonoma County and to Molly Murphy McGregor and the people that surrounded her that started that wonderful project here. So let's start right now talking about the Women's March, which you are so heavily involved with. I believe this is the third march that we're having, and this is the second one that you've actually organized. So talk about it. It's happening January 18. What are your expectations? I know this year you have just planned to have a lot of organizations coming out and tabling. Give us a little idea of what's going to happen and where it's going to happen.
Yeah, well, I want to shed light on the history of the Women's March here in Santa Rosa. It started with the national call to action in 2017, and the Women's March nationally. It is going into its fourth year here in Santa Rosa, as it is nationally as well. And I've been organizing it now. This is going on my third year. And what it is it is a way for local organizations and the community to come out to gather, to rally, and to march. So in Courthouse Square at 10 o'clock on Saturday, January 18th, we will be gathering. There'll be approximately about an hour to visit local organizations who are tabling. We usually have about 40 organizations, just like last year, but the organizations change from year to year, being that some of them are able to come, some of them might have other events or are tied up in other ways, and then we will have speakers up on stage at approximately 11 a.m., and around 12:15, we will step off onto city streets in downtown Santa Rosa and have our march. So something for everybody to see, everybody to participate in. It's less than a quarter mile, so it's very accessible, and we make it to where we want everybody to feel like their voices are heard.
Well, the most wonderful thing about the march in Santa Rosa is that when we turn the corner, we face this beautiful mirror, and we could actually see ourselves marching. I mean, that was the most exciting thing for me. And I want to throw a plug in here. As you know, I'm the president for the National Organization for Women, and we will definitely be at the march. We will be tabling, and we also have produced a calendar for the event. We'll talk a little bit about our calendar, Leslie. Tell us a little bit about it, because it's hard for me to talk about it. I'm too close to it.
Well, it's a beautiful calendar. The National Organization for Women Sonoma County Chapter, which you are the president of, developed and produced this 12-month calendar, which has the Women's March featured in it as well. It's in December, has a beautiful picture on the month of December, and it also has many of the dates of local events as well as the history of women in Sonoma County, in California, and nationally. Displayed on its pages. It is very intersectional. It's a great reference tool, and it's really in honor of the accomplishments of women, like I said, locally, throughout the state, and nationally. Of course, we can't cover it all, and I know that you try to have just about everything in that calendar, but there's so much more, and that's why it is really important as Sonoma County 2020 Women's Suffrage Project to collaborate with various organizations, including the National Organization for Women, throughout Sonoma County, and make sure that all of these different programs throughout Sonoma County and throughout the year of 2020 are highlighted so that people have a bevy of opportunities to partake in, from museums to lectures to social justice and advocacy programs, and even marching in all the local parades.
Oh, it's just going to be an amazing year. Well, we've come to the end of the segment, Leslie, and as always, your enthusiasm and your spontaneity and just your aura just makes all these things come together. It was a wonderful, wonderful kickoff that we have, and I look forward to the march, and I look forward to seeing that beautiful float on New Year's morning. And also, so give us the time again, the date, and are there still opportunities for tabling?
Yeah, for the Women's March Santa Rosa, which is on Saturday, January 18th in Courthouse Square from 10 a.m. until 1:30 in the afternoon, there are opportunities for tabling. There's obviously, we still want everybody to come on out. I believe that we're one of the only events north of San Francisco. The other one would be Sacramento. So please invite all of your friends and family. It is an inclusive event. Women, men, non-binary, and trans women and men are invited to come. We want to see everybody really being able to express themselves and use their voices for social justice. And if you want more information, visit us on Facebook at Women's March Santa Rosa 2020.
One last question. Any special speakers that you'd like to mention, or any special, anything special that you have that we missed?
Yeah, our speaker list will be coming out shortly, but I'll highlight one of them, which we've been talking about her accomplishments over the past 40 years, and she's going into her retirement year. It is Molly McGregor, the co-founder and executive director of the National Women's History Alliance, will be speaking at the Women's March and highlighting some of that very important history of women throughout the United States and here locally as well. She is highlighted in many events coming up in 2020, and we are so honored to have her with us. So be sure to come on out to Women's March Santa Rosa 2020.
Thank you so much, Leslie Graves. Thank you for your commitment and for all that you do for our community, and I look forward to seeing you on January 18th.
You too. Thank you.
Well, you know, ladies, when I listen to Leslie and I listen to the float going on and all these other things, I recognize, yes, we've come a long way, baby, but we still have a long way to go. In fact, right now in 2020, in my mind, it's going to be the year that we not only hold on to everything that we have gained, but we move forward with our Equal Rights Amendment. I mean, I'm really, really excited about that, hoping that will be passed. Well, you know, unfortunately, like I said over and over today, we are on live radio, and we're having a little bit of difficulty with our technical difficulty. So we're going to play "Auld Lang Syne," which
I can try it.
Oh, let's try it, Ken. Let's see if we can try it. Maybe we've had a miracle. Maybe there's some magic in the studio. Oh, here we go, "Auld Lang Syne."
My friend, oh,
my goodness. Happy New Year. We made it through. Live radio is still alive. Happy New Year to everybody. I want to remind you that there's going to be a benefit concert for the Peace and Justice Center on Tuesday, December 31st, starting at 8:30 at the Redwood Cafe at 8240 Old Redwood Highway, Cotati. A special shout out to Chiquina Black for keeping the Sonoma County Peace and Justice Center alive and well and helping out. And remind everybody about the Women's March, again, that's happening Saturday, January 18, 2020 at 10 p.m. and ends at 1:30 in Old Courthouse Square in Santa Rosa. And look in your community for all the activities that are happening for 2020 as we celebrate the 100th anniversary since women got to vote. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holt, and I've been your host. And I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for supporting Women's Spaces, for being the audience, to being the listeners, for saying hello to me when I walk down the streets. And a special shout out to Vesta Copesakes of the Sonoma County Gazette for another year of having her publication out on the street and for allowing me to write. It's just been an amazing experience.
A woman in your life, she can wait so easily. She knows everything you do because the woman in your life is you. Because the woman in your life, the woman in your
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, December 30th, 2019.